ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। हरे कृष्ण। सो टुडे मॉर्निंग वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भगवद्गीता चैप्टर नंबर 6 एंड वर्स नंबर 35। श्री भगवान उवाच असंशयं महाबाहो मनो दुर्निग्रहं चलम् अभ्यासेन तु कौन्तेय वैराग्येन च गृह्यते। श्री भगवान उवाच असंशयं महाबाहो मनो दुर्निग्रहं चलम् अभ्यासेन तु कौन्तेय वैराग्येन च गृह्यते। श्री भगवान उवाच असंशयं महाबाहो मनो दुर्निग्रहं चलम् अभ्यासेन तु कौन्तेय वैराग्येन च गृह्यते। श्री भगवान माता जी श्री भगवान उवाच द पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड सेड असंशयम अनडाउटेडली महाबाहो ओ माइटी आर्म्ड वन मनः द माइंड दुर्निग्रहम डिफिकल्ट टू कर्ब चलम फ्लिकरिंग अभ्यासेन बाय प्रैक्टिस टू बट कौन्तेय ओ सन ऑफ कुंती वैराग्येन बाय डिटैचमेंट च also grihyate can be controlled. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Lord Shri Krishna said, O mighty armed son of Kunti, it is undoubtedly very difficult to curb the restless mind, but it is possible by suitable practice and by detachment. Purport. The difficulty of controlling the obstinate mind as expressed by Arjuna is accepted by the personality of Godhead. But at the same time, he suggests that by practice and detachment, it is possible. What is that practice? In the present age, No one can observe the strict rules and regulations of placing oneself in a sacred place, focusing the mind on the super soul, restraining the senses and mind, observing celibacy, remaining alone, etc. By the practice of Krishna consciousness, however, one engages in 9 types of devotional service to the Lord. The first and foremost of such devotional engagements is hearing about Krishna. This is a very powerful transcendental method for purging the mind of all misgivings. The more one hears about Krishna, the more one becomes enlightened and detached from everything that draws the mind away from Krishna. By detaching the mind from activities not devoted to the Lord, one can very easily learn Vairagya. Vairagya means detachment from matter and engagement of the mind in spirit. Impersonal spiritual detachment is more difficult than attaching the mind to the activities of Krishna. This is practical because by hearing about Krishna, one becomes automatically attached to the Supreme Spirit. This attachment is called as Pareshanubhava, spiritual satisfaction. It is just like the feeling of satisfaction a hungry man has for every morsel of food he eats. The more one eats while hungry, the more one feels satisfaction and strength. Similarly, by discharging of devotional service, one feels transcendental satisfaction as the mind becomes detached from material objectives. It is something like curing a disease by expert treatment and appropriate diet. Hearing of the transcendental activities of Lord Krishna is therefore expert treatment for the mad mind, and eating the foodstuff offered to Krishna is the appropriate diet for the suffering patient. This treatment is the process of Krishna consciousness. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guroh Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyaiva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So, sorry for the disappointment. Actually, it was Sanat Kumar Prabhu supposed to give the class. But, of course, because of my mismanagement, I could not, or I forgot to remind him yesterday and this morning. So, I requested Gaurang Prabhu because he still has 2 more classes of Vandanam to complete. So, I was hoping that he will agree. So, but Prabhuji also did not agree, and Mahabhagat Prabhu also ditched. So, I am here. So, I thought the best preparation for this class could be to come and take blessings, because you can't do anything else. So, So I just thought that something that is little fresh in my mind, I would share. Anyway, because we don't have the regular Bhagavatam verses on Saturday and Sunday, because this whole lockdown period, it's Vrindavan Vidyapeeth during Bhagavatam time. And Saturday, Sunday is a verse of speaker's choice. So I thought, okay, I will choose a verse of my choice. So I chose this verse because I thought I could discuss on the overview of Manas Siksha, which is a book written by Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. So this verse talks about actually Manas Siksha, where Krishna is speaking about Manas Siksha. How do you instruct your mind? He says, Abhyasena tu Kaunteya Vairagyena cha Grihyate. It is possible by suitable practice and by detachment. And that's exactly what Manas Siksha teaches. How one can suitably, by what suitable practices and what kind of detachment, mind actually can be brought under control. So, this Manas Siksha, I will read some sections from the introduction to this book given by Srila Shachinandan Swami Maharaj before we actually start the overview of these verses. So, Maharaj writes, now at the very outset, I will be extremely blunt. As we follow Raghunath Das Goswami, you will see some open wounds in your heart and mind into which the words of Raghunath Das Goswami will go. So now, Maharaj is telling that this book is written in the form of an open heart surgery. So it is going to open the heart, and some medication is going to go into the heart in the form of Raghunath Das Goswami's words. He says that it will not be easy. You will have to be very honest, because he presents a deep psychological analysis of the obstacles we face on our path, and it will be embarrassing. So while we go through these verses, it will be quite embarrassing for most of us. However, I can encourage you, because at the end of going through Manas Siksha, you will have love of Godhead in your heart. That's what Maharaj says. Don't run away because it is too painful. But if you persevere, then at the end of Manas Siksha, you will get love of Godhead. And that is what Raghunath Das Goswami is promising, and that's what here Srila Shachinandan Swami Maharaj is also promising. So, Maharaj writes, Manas Siksha means instructions to the mind. He is using a technique of Vaishnava writers to address all of their readers by addressing their own minds. In the Nectar of Instruction, Srila Prabhupada describes Krishna consciousness as a culture of the mind. This means we should gradually train our minds so that throughout the 24 hours of the day, we can think of anything other than, we cannot think of anything other than Krishna. Now, we know that it is very difficult to train the stubborn mind to always think of Krishna 24 hours a day. It's not possible. Arjuna, the celebrated hero of the Bhagavad Gita, has expressed himself very candidly on this point. He says, Chanchalam himana Krishna pramati balavad dridam tasyaham nigraham manye vayoriva sudushkaram. The mind is so restless, so turbulent, so obstinate, so strong, O Krishna, that I think that it is more difficult to control it than to control the raging wind. Don't ask for too much, Krishna. When you tell me that I should control my mind, how will I control a raging storm? But Krishna is a good teacher, Maharaj writes. He answers the arguments of his disciples and he defeats them step by step. In the end, he encourages Arjuna to start a sadhana, a practice of mind control, when he says, it is undoubtedly very difficult to curb the restless mind, but it is possible with suitable practice and by detachment. Abhyasena tu kaunteya vairagyena cha grihyate. So manasiksha does exactly these two things which Krishna talks about in the Gita. It tells us a suitable practice we can do every day, and it also helps us to detach ourselves from material things. Okay, so therefore that's what we are trying to do. In this verse Krishna indicates that by proper abhyasa and vairagya you can actually control the mind. This is an instruction for an ashtanga yogi to stick to his practice of yoga, but manasiksha gives the abhyasa and the kind of vairagya that is suitable for practitioners of devotional service, especially in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, especially for the followers of Rupa Goswami. What is the means of controlling the mind, and what is the suitable practice that is suitable to bring the mind under control? So we will just a quick introduction about this book. This is Raghunath Das Goswami's own Upadeshamrit. You can see very striking parallels between Upadeshamrit and Manasiksha. The nature of these two books is same. The purpose of these two books is same. And the way they have written is more or less similar actually. In Upadeshamrit, Srila Rupa Goswami takes us gradually from a delicate stage of just entering bhakti, having spent millions of lifetimes in material enjoyment, and from there he takes us to Radha Kund towards the end of, by the end of Upadeshamrita, which is just 11 verses. And Raghunath Das Goswami is going to do exactly the same. So this also has 11 verses plus one Phalashruti. So therefore, in just 12 verses, he trains. And this training is specially for only those people who would like to achieve the goal presented by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he is very specific, right from the first verse onwards, that if the goal of your life is to attain the goal set by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then this book is for you. This is not a generic, in that sense, if you see, at least the first many verses of, this is one difference between Upadeshamrita and Manasiksha, is that the first few verses of Upadeshamrita are very generic. And only towards the end, Upadeshamrita zooms in and focuses more on, the actual Gaudiya Vaishnava goals. But Manasiksha does not do that. Right from the beginning, the goal is very clearly set as, the goal of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajeshatanayas Taddama Vrindavanam Ramya Kachidupasana Vrajavadu Vargenaya Kalpita Shrimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam Prema Pumarto Mahan Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhur Matamidam Tatradaro Nappara. So, if that is your goal, prema pumarto mahan, and that too, not just Bhagavat prem, but Krishna prem, because this is very, and incidentally, this book is very much in line with the series that is going on, Govardhan, Vrindavan Vidyapeet, in line because, as you will see that in practically every single verse, Raghunath Das Goswami will present Vraje Radha Krishna, Vraje Radha Krishna, Vraje Radha Krishna, worship Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. So this is very much in line with the teachings, with the theme that has been going on. So in that sense, you can say that this is just to enhance our appetite for the next week of, or the next many weeks of months of Vrindavan Vidyapeeth. So therefore, I will not speak much about how the book was written and what is its position in our Gaudiya Vaishnava parampara, because that would then that would not give us sufficient time to discuss the individual verses. So I will directly go to the beginning of the verse. So the first verse begins with telling, okay, just as the first verse of Vedanta Sutra starts with Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Now that you are completely done with your endeavors to attain happiness through material engagements, now that you are thoroughly frustrated and you are convinced that there should be a higher way of attaining happiness, he says, Brahma Jigyasa. Now you start meditating on Brahman. Now it is time for you to inquire into the Brahman. So that's what he says. So similarly, this chapter also starts with, now that you have received faith, now that you have received I would like to seek blessings of His grace Gaurang Prabhu, so that I could speak something. Even now, if Prabhuji is willing, you know, I'm just requesting Him if He can. So the first verse begins, now that you have atato, now that you have faith in the practice of pure devotional service, what is expected of that person who has received that tender faith in practicing pure devotional service? So he says, Gurau goshte goshtala ishu sujane bu suragane swamantre shrinamni vrajanava yuvadvandvasharane sadadambam hitva kururatim apurvam atitaram aye swantar bratas chatubirabi ache dhritapada. So he says, what is the first thing that a person who has achieved faith in Krishna consciousness, what is expected of him? So Raghunath Das Goswami says, surrender to Krishna. So surrender to Krishna is what is expected of a person who has developed faith in Krishna consciousness. Now the question is, how do you surrender to a person? What is a prerequisite for surrendering to a person? He says, love. Love is the prerequisite to surrender to a person. So how do you develop that love towards Krishna? He says, the easiest way of developing love towards Krishna is to develop love towards things which are connected to Krishna. Tadiya sevanam. So at the very outset, Raghunath Das Goswami presents that how, in order to surrender to Krishna, one needs to develop love for Krishna, and in order to develop love for Krishna, one has to have a very strong attachment to tadiya. Those things are people connected to Krishna. So what are they? So he presents 8 of them. First is Gurau. We will briefly see about these things. Gurau means both the Gurau is in dual. It refers to both Siksha Guru and Diksha Guru. That should be, first one should develop attachment towards them. He also explains how this attachment changes in nature when one progresses further, gradually from Vaidhi Sadhana to Raganuga Sadhana. So he says that at the stage of Vaidhi Sadhana, one sees one's Siksha Guru and Diksha Guru as the perfect transparent representative of the Guru Shishya Parampara. But when one progresses more and more and knocks the door of Raganuga Bhakti, is it that Guru becomes redundant? So he says, no. This he says, one starts not only seeing the Guru as the perfect, transparent representative of the Guru Shishya Parampara, but one also starts seeing the Guru as the most intimate associate of Radha and Krishna. So actually it is mentioned that when one enters into the realm of Raganuga Sadhana, his relationship with the Guru becomes more and more strong. So Gurau. And the second thing he says is Goshte. So Goshte is Vrindavan. So one has to develop attraction for Vrindavan, and that is what the Vrindavan Vidyapeeth is meant for. When you hear about the various pastime places, you develop attachment. And Goshtalayishu. Goshtalayishu means the Vrajavasis. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in his commentary that Vrajavasis are of two types. The first type are those who physically stay in Vrindavan and also carry Vrindavan within their heart. And the second type of Vrajavasis are those who may not get the opportunity to physically stay in Vrindavan, but they carry Vrindavan within their heart. And there is no third type. So, someone who may stay in Vrindavan but may not hold Vrindavan within their heart, they are not considered as Vrajavasis, explains Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So Gurau Goshte Goshtalayishu. So, you cannot separate while developing attraction for Vrindavan, one parallelly develops attraction for Goshtalayishu also, Vrajavasis, because in every place of Vrindavan is sacred because of the pastimes Krishna has performed in the association of his Vrajavasis. Sujane, that is the Gurau Goshte Goshtalayishu Sujane. Sujane means one should have a very respectful attitude towards all the Vaishnavas who may not be Goshtalayishu, who may not have that specific attraction for Vrindavan. Still, one should have a very respectful attitude and appreciative attitude towards all the Vaishnavas. Then he says, Bhusuragane. Not only that, Krishna is very kindly disposed towards the Brahmanas also, because the Brahmanas dispense the Varnashram Dharma. So he says, Bhusuragane. One should also have a very respectful disposition towards the Brahmanas. Then he says Swamantre. So Swamantre, he says, refers to the specific mantra the disciple receives from the Guru for worshipping the deities. This is the Gayatri mantra. So ideally in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Parampara, Gayatri mantra is mentioned to be actually a direct expansion of the holy name. So one should not see in any way the Gayatri mantra to be inferior to the holy name. So he says, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, just as the qualification for chanting the Mahamantra is Shraddha, faith, the qualification for chanting the Gayatri mantra, he says, is Nishta. So one has to be ideally, because in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Parampara, if you actually meditate on the meaning of those seven mantras that are given, it is actually an opportunity given by the Guru for actually Raganuga Sadhana. And the minimum qualification for practicing Raganuga Sadhana is actually Nishta. Before Nishta, while anarthas are raging in one's heart, one cannot. So therefore, one should have a very, very respectful, the generic plea that the devotees present in the form of Hare Krishna Mahamantra, that O Krishna, O Radharani, please engage me in your service, becomes a more specific plea through Gayatri Mantra, especially the starting from the second to seventh, is like very specific presentation. You know, who is that personality, whose service I am seeking, like that. So Swamantre Shri Namni And one should also have a very respectful disposition towards the holy name. Vraja Nava Yuva Dvandva Sharane. And one should have a very strong attraction to the process of surrendering to the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. So he says that the means of surrendering to Krishna is to develop love for Krishna, and the means of developing love for Krishna is to develop love for his tadiya, especially these eight things. So whatever is anukul for developing an attraction for these eight things, we should do. Then he says, what is the obstacle? What is the obstacle in developing an attraction for these eight? He says, dambam, pride. So he says, sada dambam hitva, try to give up pride. And he uses the word sada, indicating that the act of giving up pride is not a one-time affair. So now I have kicked it away and it will never come back. So Raghunath Das Goswami says, sada, always give up pride, which means it is like cleaning one's home. It's not like today I have cleaned, so eternally it will be spick and span. Every day we have to clean. So he says, sada dambam hitva. And the means of overcoming that pride is to, he says that there are many bhauma leela pastimes that Krishna performs of killing various demons. And many of these demons indicate different aspects of pride, like Aghasur, Bhakasur, Putana. He explains, you know, how each demon indicates a different facet of pride. Pride, he says, has 13 facets. And the 13 facets of pride can be destroyed by very humbly and with great intensity listening to these pastimes of Krishna killing these particular demons. That is sada dambam hitva. And he says, kuru ratim, develop attachment to these eight. But what kind of rati? He says, apurva rati. Apurva rati means unprecedented attachment. So unprecedented attachment means you must not have had that kind of an attachment with any material object or person. That is our standard. That is the standard that he says. Which means maybe even more than the affection that you have for your mother and father. So that kind of attraction that one should have for these eight things. One should endeavor to develop. That endeavor he is indicating by telling, Kuru Ratim Apurvam Atitaram. So Atitaram means excessive endeavor. One should excessively endeavor to achieve that attraction, which means one should not think that just by existing, by surviving in devotional service, one will automatically develop attraction for these eight things. One should endeavor. Shrinvata Shraddaya Nityam Grinatascha Swacheshtitam Kalena Nati Dirgena Bhagavan Vishate Hridi. The Supreme Lord will enter the heart of that person who engages in these activities with strong endeavor. Swacheshtitam. So that's what he is telling, that Aye Swantar Bhratas, oh my dear mind, my dear friend, my dear brother, he says, Chatubir Abhiyache, with very pleasing words I am beseeching you, can you please develop this Apurvam Atitaram Rati towards these eight objects connected to Krishna. Like that he is praying. So this is the first thing that he mentions in the first verse. And then in the second verse, Shil Raghunath Das. Summarize the eight. Gurau, Goshte, Goshtalayishu, Vrajavasis. Sujane is the other Vaishnavas who may not have that specific attraction. Bhusuragane, the Brahmanas. Swamantre, one's Gayatri Mantra. Shri Namni, the holy name. Vraja Navayuva Dvandva Sharane, and the process of surrendering to the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. Then, in the next verse, he says, धर्मं नाधर्मं श्रुतिगण निरुक्तं किल कुरु व्रजे राधा कृष्ण प्रचुर परिचर्यामिह तनु शची सूनु नंदीश्वर पति सुतत्वे गुरुवरं मुकुंद प्रेष्टत्वे स्मर परम अजस्रम ननु मन. सो ही सेज न धर्मम ना धर्मम श्रुतिगण निरुक्तम किल कुरु. वेरी इंटरेस्टिंग वर्स. दिस इज अ वर्स वेर रघुनाथ दास गोस्वामी इज रिक्वेस्टिंग द माइंड टू चेंज हिज पैराडाइम ऑफ फंक्शनिंग. सो देर आर थ्री पैराडाइम्स ऑफ फंक्शनिंग. A materialist functions on the paradigm of raga sankalpo dvesha varjanam. Whatever is pleasing, I will accept, and whatever is displeasing, I will reject. Then a person takes up to the Vedic path, the dharmic path, and then his paradigm changes for the first time, where he thinks in terms of dharma sankalpo adharma varjanam. Whatever is dharmic, I will accept. Whatever is adharmic, I will reject. Then, by the chance association of a devotee, if one enters into the realm of pure devotional service, then his paradigm is expected to change from dharma sankalpo adharma varjanam to the platform of anukulyasya sankalpo pratikulyasya varjanam. Bhakti anukulyasya sankalpo bhakti pratikulyasya varjanam. So that is what he is telling here, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. Na dharmam kuru, O mind, do not perform dharma. And then he says, na adharmam kuru, do not perform adharma also. So now, if you think about it, this is not possible. Na dharmam kuru, the moment you do not perform your dharma, at that very moment you are performing adharma. Because कर्मण्येवाधिकारस्ते मा फलेषु कदाचन मा कर्मफल हेतुर्बुर् माते संगोस्तु अकर्मणि. डोंट बी अटैच्ड टू नॉन परफॉर्मेंस ऑफ योर प्रिस्क्राइब्ड ड्यूटीज, बिकॉज नॉन परफॉर्मेंस ऑफ वन्स प्रिस्क्राइब्ड ड्यूटीज इज इन इटसेल्फ सिन, अधर्म. सो ही सेज न धर्मम कुरु न अधर्मम कुरु. हाउ इज इट पैरेलली पॉसिबल? श्रुतिगण निरुक्तम, दैट विच द धर्मशास्त्र से एस dharma according to your varna and ashrama. He says na kuru, and then if you don't do it, it is adharma. Then he says na adharmam kuru, don't do adharma also. Then what am I supposed to do? He says vraje radha krishna prachura paricharyam ihatanu. Engage your body, mind and words in worshipping radha and krishna in Vrindavan. So basically what krishna is asking here is he is not asking Raghunath Das Goswami, he is not asking anyone to give up dharma or adharma. He is just requesting one to change the paradigm of functioning. Like at the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna told Arjuna, sarvadharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami mashuchah. Give up all dharma. But after hearing all that, Arjuna actually fought on the battlefield, which means he did not give up his Kshatriya Dharma. Then he eventually took care of the kingdom. Again, he performed his Kshatriya Dharma, he didn't give it up. He took care of his own family, his Grihastha Dharma also he followed. So now the question arises, did Arjuna actually give up, follow the principle of instruction of Krishna to give up sarvadharman parityajya mamekam sharanam raja? Was it actually followed by Arjuna or not? Because apparently it seems like he didn't give up his varna dharma and ashrama dharma. So did he actually follow the instruction of Krishna? So Prabhupada very many many times in his writings and in his lectures he has clarified. Prabhupada says, at the beginning of the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Arjuna did not want to fight. But after hearing Bhagavad Gita from Krishna, Arjuna fought. because Krishna wanted him to fight. So, therefore, the same activity, the activity could be the same, but the paradigm could be different. It could be either raga sankalpo, dvesha varjanam, or dharma sankalpo, adharma varjanam, or bhakti anukulyasa sankalpo, bhakti pratikulyasa varjanam. The activity may be the same. So Krishna is not asking anyone to change their activities, but he is asking to change the paradigm of thought. You know, I many times share this example. Many years back, I remember Premlila Mataji sharing in one of the Vyas Puja offerings to Maharaj that how once when she was cooking in the DT kitchen, and this was very early days when probably it must have been about at least 25, maybe more than 30 years back, when probably Madhav was a small child. So Maharaj came and he asked Mataji, maybe if I quote it wrong, maybe she can correct. So Maharaj asked, what are you doing? And Mataji said, I'm cooking for their lordships, I'm performing devotional service. So Maharaj said, you go home and take care of your child, that is your devotional service. Like that, he mentioned. So one may say that to perform one's grihastha duties is actually varnashram dharma, and only shravanam kirtanam is actually devotional service. But that is not the understanding of our Guru Parampara. Our Guru Parampara had a very broad understanding of what constitutes devotional service. Anything that is performed in the mode of anukulyasa sankalpo and pratikulyasa varjanam falls within the realm of devotional service. So that's what here Raghunath Das Goswami is indicating. Na dharmam kuru, na adharmam kuru, vraje radha krishna prachura paricharyam ihatanu. Like that. And then he says, okay, if you have established that the goal of my life is to worship Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan, then what is the role of worshipping Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Where does this whole worship of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fit in? He says, Shachi Sunum Nandishwara Pati Sutatve Smaramana. There is nothing incongruent here, because you should meditate that Shachi Sunu, the son of Mother Shachi, is indeed Nandishwara Pati Suta, is indeed the son of Vrajendra Nandana Jai Sachi Suta Hoilosei. So with that understanding, worship of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not incongruent with worship of Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. That goal is accomplished. Then one may say, how does the worship of Guru fit into this whole Radha Krishna worship? So this is where he says, Guruvaram Mukunda Preshtatve Smaramana. Guruvaram Param Mukunda Preshtatve Smaramana. Consider your Guru as the most intimate servant of Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. So in that way, worshipping your Guru very well fits with the worship of Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. So he clarifies. Don't become exclusivistic. You know, see what all can be favorably included within the worship of Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. Not only favorably included, but they are actually favorable for worship of Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. So this is the second verse where he requests the mind to make the shift of paradigm. If you are in raga sankalpo, dvesha varjanam, come to anukulyasa sankalpo, pratikulyasa varjanam. Or if you are in dharma sankalpo, adharma varjanam, then from there you can come, wherever you may be, but you have to shift the paradigm of functioning. So this is the second verse that Raghunath Das Goswami mentions. Then, in the third verse he says, Yadi cheravasam vrajabhu visaragam pratijanur yuvadvandvam tachet paricharitum aradabilashek Swarupam Shri Rupam Saganamihatasya Grajamapi स्फुटं प्रेम्णा नित्यं स्मरणमतदात्वं शृणु मन. सो ही सेज दैट ही प्रेजेंट्स इन दिस केस अ वेरी डेलिकेट अनकंफर्टेबल क्वेश्चन. Is it possible to achieve love for Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan through any other sampradaya? So, it's going to become more and more exclusivistic. So he says, let me explain. Yadi cher avasam, yadi icher, if your desire is avasam, to reside, Vraja Bhuvi on the land of Vrindavan, Saragam with great attachment. Prati Janu, life after life, one may think that, array, if this lifetime I develop attachment, then I don't have to stay here. So why this Prati Janu? Every lifetime means I have to take birth again and again. So the Acharyas explain, a sadhaka will think like this. But a perfected person who has actually developed that attraction towards Bhauma Vrindavan will actually understand that it is more sweeter than even Goloka Vrindavan. And therefore, Pratijanu is very much valid for him. He would not want to give up Bhauma Vrindavan because the pastimes in Bhauma Vrindavan are actually considered more sweeter than the pastimes of Goloka Vrindavan. So, yadichar avasam vrajabhuvi saragam pratijanur. And what will you do in Vrindavan? Yuvadvandvam tachet paricharitum arad abhilashe. While staying in Vrindavan, if you desire to stay very near to the divine couple and serve them, then there is only one way. What is that way? Swarupam Shri Rupam Saganam iha tasyagrajamapi sputam premna nityam smara nama tadatvam shrunumana. What you should do? Swarupam, Swarup Damodar Goswami. Shri Rupam, Rupa Goswami. Saganam, the other Goswami associates. Tasya agrajam, Sanatan Goswami. Sputam premna nityam, with clear love, clearly manifest love and affection for these personalities. Smara, you should meditate on them. Meditate means you should meditate on their writings. Nama means express your gratitude by offering obeisances. Tadatvam. So, it is mentioned that if one desires to develop the kind of love that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give, anarpita charim chirat karunaya vatirana hakalau, samarpayitum unnata ujjwala rasam swabhakti shriyam. Then the way is only one. Swarupam Shri Rupam Saganamiha Tasyagrajamapi. To follow the teachings of the six Goswamis. Now the Acharyas explain, why doesn't Raghunath Das Goswami say Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Gadadhar Pandit, Advaitacharya and Srivas Thakur? Why is he not quoting the names of the Panchatattva? Why Swarupam, Shri Rupam? Have they become greater than the Panchatattva? He says that these five personalities broke open the storehouse of love and freely distributed. And they themselves relished it and showed how it can be relished. And they showed that it can be relished, and the highest kind of relish is possible only by experiencing this love for Radha and Krishna. And then they left, but they did not leave behind the process of how you can attain that love gradually, step by step, that the Goswamis came and gave it in their writings. So he says that if this is the kind and flavor of attraction to Krishna that you would like to develop, then the Goswami's writings are the only ways. You cannot, because it is not that other sampradaya's writings are not bona fide, but it is not, it may not be perfectly suited for nourishing the mood that we are trying to cultivate. If a particular mood we are trying to cultivate, then our support system should nourish that mood. Where we are receiving our nourishment should actually nourish that particular mood that we are aspiring for. So he says, I am sorry, but for sounding very exclusivistic, but this is a fact. So, and this is true in all Vaishnava Sampradayas. Coming from a Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya myself, I have seen many lectures. You will never hear them quoting from acharyas from any other sampradaya. They are absolute, not that they disregard, but their attachment and nourishment comes from their acharyas' writings only. So one should not think that Gaudiya Vaishnavism is very exclusivistic and narrow-minded, but actually all Vaishnava sampradayas are like that. They very rigorously quote from their own Vartaman Acharyas and predecessor Acharyas. So that is exactly what here Raghunath Das Goswami is indicating, that if your desire is to develop this flavor of love, then you have to access it only through the writings of our Goswamis. That is the message of the third verse. So these three verses lay the foundation. And so if the pramana is clear, so the yadyad acharati shreshtas tattadeve tarojana sayat pramanam gurute lokastha danuvartate. So he says that whatever act is performed by a very elevated soul, common man follows, and whatever pramana he accepts, whatever source of knowledge he accepts as the bona fide, the common man also accepts that same pramana as the source of knowledge. So in these three verses, if you see, in general, what should be the objects or people to whom we should develop attraction, and what is the change of paradigm that is expected from a practicing Gaudiya Vaishnava, and what should be the pramana for one's practice, that is established. So he has set the platform for bhajana kriya. And now when bhajana kriya starts, slowly one after another, the anarthas will start creeping out. From the grossest level to the subtlest level. So what anarthas will creep out and how do you address those anarthas? That is the next four verses. 4 to 7, 4, 5, 6, 7 addresses these anarthas. So first he starts with the grossest anarthas. So he says, asadvarta vesya visrjamati sarvasvaharani kata mukti vyagrya na shrunu kila sarvatmagilani api tyaktva lakshmi pati rati mito vyomanayanim vraje radha krishnau swarati mani dautvam bhajamanam. So he talks about three obstacles. First he says, asad varta veshya prajalpa. So prajalpa, he says, is like a prostitute. So when you approach a prostitute, the prostitute steals away all the wealth that one has painstakingly accumulated and makes us pauper. Asad varta veshya visrjamati, it completely steals our mind. Sarvasva, of everything, of all good qualities. We see this in the case of Ajamil. So he started out by becoming a victim of lust, eventually ended up becoming a victim of all kinds of criminal activities. So Raghunath Das Goswami says, asad varta veshya visrjamati sarvasva harani. In his book Bhaktialoka, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions about this prajalpa. Very one very striking point that he says. Reading newspapers is a colossal waste of time and it robs all the devotees of all good qualities. This he writes in towards the end of 1800s. Towards the end of 1800s, 20th century has not yet started. At that time he is writing. And during the time of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the only prominent newspaper of Bengal was Amrita Bazar Patrika. And Amrita Bazar Patrika, the editor, chief editor of that, Shishir Kumar Ghosh, was almost like a disciple of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And he used to, in the newspaper, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's, you know, where all he is going to speak, or excerpts from his speeches, and his travel itinerary, everything used to be written in the newspaper. So Amrita Bazar Patrika was almost like, at least a good part of it was like Gaudiya Patrika only. At that time, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, it's such a colossal waste of time for Vaishnavas. So now you can imagine in today's day and age, how much more of a distraction it would be. So every moment we can, you know, news, we don't have to go and search for a newspaper, you know, it is there in our pocket only. And along with the news comes many other addendums. So this is one thing he says. Second obstacle he says, Kata Mukti Vyagriya. Mukti Kata. Mukti Kata means discussing other literatures which may, rather than glorifying service to the Supreme Lord, glorifies Mukti. So this is like a very pious, in one sense, distraction. But he puts it at the very gross level. And then he says, but in today's day and age, that Mukti Kata would be attraction to many kinds of modern psychology and things like that, which may unnecessarily distract one from the ultimate goal of devotional service. And then the third thing he says is, Api Tyaktva Lakshmi Patiratim Ito Vyomanayanim. So the third is like a very, very interesting obstacle that he says, which is give up, the third big obstacle is give up your attachment to worshipping Lakshmi and Narayan. He does not say give up worship of Lakshmi Narayan. He says give up attachment to worshipping Lakshmi and Narayan. Ito Vyomanayanim. Because you will land up in Vrindavan. See, you will land up in Vaikuntha. Irreversible. So he says, Apityaktva Lakshmi Patim Ito Vyomanayanim. Vyoma is Vaikuntha. It will take you to Vaikuntha. Huh? Yeah. So he says, but then if one may say that if I give up Vaikuntha attachment to Vaikuntha also, then will I not be bereft? So responding to Prabhuji's. So, Raghunath Das Goswami says, Vraje Radha Krishnau Swarati Manidau Tvam Bhajamana. If you worship Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan, if you even endeavor to worship Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan, Swarati Manidau, they will give the most precious jewel of love for themselves to you. It is much more easier to attain than the love for Lakshmi Pati Ratim. So he says it is much more easily available and it is much more valuable. So for that, but for that you have to give up Lakshmi Pati Rati, your attachment to worshipping Lakshmi Narayan. That's why if you see Prabhupada, at the beginning he told all his disciples after installing Radha Krishna deities that you have to worship them in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan. But interestingly, in the 108 temples that Prabhupada established, he never established actually Lakshmi Narayan deities in even one of the temples. So, because the mode of worshipping them with awe and reverence actually saves them from the Sahajiya mentality. But at the same time, the Acharyas do not want us to get diverted from the goal of life only. So therefore, identifying that such a worship can divert us from the goal of our life. So they say, he says that, Apityaktva Lakshmi Patiratim Ito Vyomanainim. On one side he says, and to the same people, Prabhupada says, worship them in the mode of Lakshmi Narayan. But worship Radha and Krishna only in the mode of Lakshmi Narayan. And gradually when you progress further, when you become qualified, then you can worship them more intimately. Like that. So this is the fourth verse where the grossest of the anarthas have been addressed. And the point is, if you don't address the gross anarthas, you cannot work on the subtler anarthas which are going to be spoken in the subsequent verses. Which means, if we do not take a very conscious effort to avoid prajalpa, mukti katha, and attachment to worshipping Lakshmi Narayan, then we cannot go to the next stage, which is described in the next verse. So in the fifth verse, Raghunath Das Goswami says, Asachesta kashta prada vikata pashali viriha prakamam kamadi prakata patapati vyatikaraihi gale badva hanye hammiti bakabidvartma pagane kurutvam futkaran avatisayatatvam manayita. So in this verse he says, he talks about the subtler anarthas. He says, Iha, in this material world, prakata pati pati. Prakata pata means the sparkling path of devotion. Very clear. Davan nimilyava netre naskalena patediha. One can run on this path with their eyes closed. They will not slip and fall down. Because the path itself is very smooth and clear. But there are highway robbers standing there. He says that prakatapati pati. There are attackers of the sparkling path. Vyatikaraihi. And they are not one. It's a mob. Mob of thugs who are ready to attack that person who is running with his eyes closed on the path of devotion. So, who are they? Prakamam kamadi. So, kama adi is kama, krodha, lobha, moha, madha, matsarya. So, prakamam means I desire to let them in into my heart. It is not that they sneaked in without my giving them the opportunity, but I willingly let them in within my heart. So, what they are doing, gale badva, they have bound the neck of the practitioner with asat cheshta, with unfavorable activities which are inspired by lust, which are inspired by anger, which are inspired by greed, which are inspired by illusion, which are inspired by pride, like that. So, gale badva, they have bound the neck of the practitioner, even though he can run. But if a person has bound the neck and is holding the nose, the person cannot run. The road ahead is clear, but someone is catching us. Gale badva, with asat cheshta and kashta prada. And it is not that while engaging in these activities, being inspired by lust, anger, envy, greed, illusion and pride, one is happy actually. While engaging also it is kashta prada, very, very distressful. So he says, so what is the solution when one is attacked by these enemies? He says, hanyeham, hanyeham, I am dead, I am dead, I am being killed. Shout loudly. To whom? Bakamid Vartmapagane. Gane. Because there is a mob and there are also polices, the mob of police. Who are they? Vartmapa. Vartmapa means, Vartma is path, Pa means protectors. Just as Krishna is Gopal or the Gopas. Bakabid Vartmapa. Bakabid is Krishna, the killer of Bakasur. And Bakasur here, because he is the embodiment of duplicitous hypocrisy. So when we are troubled by these enemies, then naturally we will we would want to hide, because in a Vaishnava society these six are not appreciated. So he says, Kurutvam Futkaran, shout loudly to call the, seek the attention of Bakabid Vartmapagane, the Vaishnavas, who are the protectors of the sparkling path of devotion, the policemen. So which means, then he says, Avati Sayatatvam Manaita, and they will come and protect you. So the meaning is that in order to overcome these six anarthas, one of the main problems is actually a taste for loneliness, because slowly that's how these anarthas will creep in, and when they see that there are no police around, they will come and attack. So therefore we must be at a distance, at a shouting distance from the Vaishnavas. So I am dead, you know. And the Vaishnavas will come, and forget about Vaishnavas coming. We will have the courage to shout only when we have earned a relationship with the Vaishnavas. So otherwise, we will be embarrassed. So, therefore, Rupa Goswami, even though Rupa Goswami's Upadeshamrita is also a similar book, 11 verses, 3 exclusive verses he dedicates to developing Vaishnava relationships. So, Dadati Pratigrinnati Guyyamakyati Pruchati Bungte Bojete Cheva Shadvidam Priti Lakshanam. So, if our relationships are not nourished by these six exchanges, then we have not invested sufficiently to call for the Vaishnavas. Vaishnavas may come, but we will not have the guts to call the Vaishnavas because of embarrassment. So, therefore, if our heart is sufficiently nourished by these six exchanges, actually, this is not just talking about when we are after being attacked by the six, we will call out for the Vaishnavas. That is a lower level of understanding. But the higher level of understanding that the Acharyas are presenting is, the only reason why you are attacked by these highway robbers is because your heart is not sufficiently nourished by Vaishnava association through these six exchanges. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Bhajana Rahasya, so he discusses about these four prominent kinds of anarthas. Asat Trishna, Tattva Vibhrama, then Hridaya Daurbalyam, and fourth is Tattva Vibhrama, Asat Trishna, Hridaya Daurbalyam. What is the fourth? And aparadas, offenses. So, very interesting solutions he gives to these four. He says, aparadas can be overcome by following the first verse of Nectar of Instruction. Vacho Vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jihva vegam, udaropastha vegam. If you can control your tongue, your mind, your anger, offenses can be averted. Then he says, how do you overcome the problem of asat trishna? Extensive hankering for material objects. Very simple. He says, follow the second verse of Nectar of Instruction. Atyahara prayasascha prajalpo niyamagraha janasangascha laulyamcha shadbir bhaktir vinashyati. So if you can very carefully follow these six principles, avoid these six things, then you will not, then excessive attachment to material things will not happen. By prajalpa you get attracted, just like Mother Rukmini got attracted to Krishna by hearing. We get attracted to material things through hearing prajalpa and asatsanga. By associating with such people, also we contaminate our heart in this way. Atyahara also gives, it increases our greed more, like that. Then the third obstacle, he says, is tattva vibrama. So tattva vibrama can be overcome by, he says, taking shelter of Guru Sadhu Shastra, their teachings. You can overcome tattva vibrama. The fourth very interesting suggestion he gives, how do you overcome hridaya daurbalyam, weakness of heart, which manifests in the form of succumbing to lust, succumbing to greed, succumbing to fame, prestige. How does one overcome? So he says, why these are put under hridaya daurbalyam? Because he says, these are the symptoms of a heart that is not sufficiently nourished. So how do I nourish the heart? He says, very simple. Follow the fourth verse of Nectar of Instruction. Dadati pratigrinnati guhyam akyati prichati bungte bojayate cheva shadvidam priti lakshanam. He says, if your heart is not sufficiently nourished with the food of Vaishnava association, Vaishnava preeti, then the nature of that is, that weakness manifests in the form of hankering for fame, hankering for prestige, hankering for, you know, succumbing to the pulls of lust, anger, envy, etc. So therefore it is very important that we understand this importance of what it means, Sangha. So Sangha means not living with Vaishnavas. Sangha means where these six exchanges are there. Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions that Janasangascha Laulyamcha. So Janasangha means association with materialists. So a householder may say, actually I am working, I go to office, I work, and while working I will have to interact with many materialists. So I am afraid of Janasangha, should I stop working? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, no. Janasangha does not mean to stay with, to just interact with materialists. Janasangha. Preeti means dadati pratigrinnati guhyam akyati prichati bungte bojayate cheva. So if you don't have these six exchanges, that association will not have an impact on you. So you don't have to worry about your going to office, as long as you don't have these six exchanges. Meaning, while living with Vaishnavas, if these six exchanges are not there, that association will also have no impact. So therefore he says, in order to shout, to call the attention of these Vaishnavas, the foundation has to be laid. We must be ready to call. We must be willing to call. Many times we don't invest in this foundational thing. And because we don't invest, when we are in trouble, we are not comfortable to call. And many times we get into trouble because our heart is not sufficiently nourished with Vaishnava Preeti. So therefore, here he says that Kurutvam Futkaran. You shout and the Vaishnavas will come. But when the many times we get carried away, Vaishnav Preeti can nourish. Vaishnav Preeti is like food which can nourish the Dhatus. But many times we get carried away by fame, name, glorification, or at the most some kind of admiration. So admiration cannot nourish, but admiration can intoxicate. So many times we may choose intoxication over nourishment. And we don't realize, because intoxication gives immediate kick. But eventually it kicks. Because after many, many days and years, we realize that lack of nourishment. And by that time, we have lost the habit of the six exchanges with devotees. So therefore, the symptom of this malnourished heart is this lust, anger, envy, greed, desire for fame, etc. He says the only solution is invest in Vaishnava relationships. That is the instruction of Raghunath Das Goswami. It's already 9:30. So we will end here. I am sorry for going over time. So we will continue this discussion some other time. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami Pad ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.